Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And as we're catching up, last week we looked at the simple salvation, the simplicity of salvation. And we learned that there were people that were coming from the Church of Jerusalem, the kind of the main hub. Pastor James was up there, and they were coming from Jerusalem, and they came to Antioch as Paul and Barnabas were giving their report. They were fellowshipping, and they heard the grumblings and the rumblings of, hey, yes, being saved, believing on Jesus Christ is one thing, but you also have to add to that salvation the Jewish customs, and they were talking about circumcision, to be specific. And we know that that's not true, that salvation is through Jesus Christ, not of flesh. Amen? And I'm thankful for that, because if it was of my flesh, I would not have access to heaven. There's no way that through our sinful flesh we can get to heaven. And I'm thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for our sins. Well, they had a meeting about it in Jerusalem, and James stood up and agreed with Peter, and Paul and Barnabas came up there as well, and they talked about salvation, and plainly salvation. And James got up and agreed with them and let them know that, yes, salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And understand, there are things that happen after salvation, that the life is changed, amen? That we are not sinless, but we should sin less if we're saved and if Christ is in our heart. And so he was dealing with that. But then in verse 30, we see they're dismissed and they come back to Antioch. Look at verse 30, if you would. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. That's the letter there, the speech, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. That word confirmed is strengthened. That means strengthened them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace and from the brethren unto apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So Silas stayed there. We get from that Judas probably left there, but Silas stayed there. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So here's what happened. These missionaries came off the field. They dealt with an issue that came up, and they stayed and were involved. Amen? They didn't want to say, okay, we're on vacation from this missionary journey now. It's time to take a break. No, they were involved in the church. I love when Nathan and Megumi are here. Nathan came to me and he said, now they're probably somewhere presenting their ministry this morning. He comes to me and he says, Pastor Krieg, is there anything I can do in the church? I love that. And that's the attitude missionaries ought to have. That's the attitude we ought to have as Christians. We ought to have, hey, is there anything I can do here? I'm at the church. I need to be doing something. And so I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor Creed, I want to get my hands involved in something. God's leading me in this direction. We find a place for you to serve. We love that because we ought to be involved. This is not my church. This is God's church. And we ought to be involved in God's church. Well, they were involved in teaching, and they were preaching the word of God. And then some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where they have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. I love this attitude by Paul, don't you? He says, okay, boy, I miss those people. He was probably thinking about the faces of the people that accepted Christ as their personal Savior. See, he didn't just see people saved and let them go do what they want to do. He wanted to go and make sure they were doing what's wrong, that doing what's right, and that they were being discipled and growing in Christ. And that was important to him. And so he said, okay, Barnabas, let's go back and let's look and see how these people are doing. Well, then comes the verse, a couple verses that are discouraging. Let's look at verse number 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now look at verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches, that's strengthening the churches. I want to talk about this thought this morning. When we disagree. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can look in your word. Now help us as we understand this thought of disagreement among Christians. Lord, speak to my heart, speak through me to our hearts to help us to understand each other and what you want from us and the expectations that are laid out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. By the way, disagreements happen even in the Lord's work. Do you know Christians disagree sometimes? How many of you already knew that? Very good. How many of you know that husbands and wives disagree sometimes? Yes. Husbands, they may not always be right, but they're never wrong. Amen? And so if you can understand that, it'll help you. And you've got to decide when you are in a disagreement with your wife, fellas, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that's a thought you have to understand as well. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? In the United States, there's more lawyers per capita than any other country in the world. In 2005, there were almost 800,000, 799,960 licensed lawyers in the United States. One for every 320 people. Think about that. One lawyer for every 320 people. Obviously, all those lawyers need to have something to do. And as a result, the United States also leads the world in lawsuits. Now, we've all heard the story of Miss Stella Leibach. She sued McDonald's in 1992 after spilling coffee into her own lap. Stella was awarded $2.9 million in damages by the New Mexico jury. And ever since then, McDonald's has had to warn people that their coffee is hot. $2.9 million just for spilling hot coffee on yourself. There's a bit of a disagreement there, right? Paul and Barnabas did not disagree over a doctrine of the Bible. And so today, as we look at this disagreement, I'm not dealing with disagreements over the doctrine of the Bible. I'm talking about disagreements maybe over preference, maybe over something that's maybe small. Maybe it may be insignificant in the big picture, but it's important to you. And there may be some disagreements amongst us as Christians, and we're not dealing with the disagreements on the doctrine. By the way, if there is a disagreement on doctrine, the Bible settles it. That's it, bottom line. The Bible settles that disagreement. We don't have to worry about anything else. So we're not dealing with the doctrinal disagreements. We're dealing with maybe a preferential disagreement. And by the way, Paul and Barnabas did disagree. How in the world, Pastor Creed, can Paul and Barnabas, who served so well on the first missionary journey, spent so much time together, and God used in such a great way, how would they disagree with one another? Well, number one, people disagree because people are different. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. We're different. How many of you have had children before? Yes. If you have children or you've had children before, you know that there's a difference between the children. I have two boys. I want to tell you this morning, my two boys are completely different. Now, Colton, how many of you have met Colton before? They're both sweet, by the way, but Colton is kind of the builder. He's the thinker. He will think things through. He came home one day and completely out of the blue told us that Miss Tanya had changed her hairstyle. Can you believe? Now everybody's looking at Miss Tanya and saying, well, how does her hair look? I'm sorry, Miss Tanya. That wasn't my point. He notices things. He's a thinker. He thinks through things and he builds things. He loves the Legos. He loves accomplishing those Legos. And it fits well with Hudson because Hudson is a destroyer. Hudson is the Hulk. I mean, he's the one, when Colton builds it, Hudson can't help but say, there's something I can destroy. Please pray that we have someone come to the church that can fix holes in the wall. Because if there's a hole in the wall, it might be Hudson Creed. He is a destroyer. And these bricks aren't safe either. Let me tell you, he's only 4 years old and he's a destroyer, but he's still sweet. There's differences between Hudson and Colton. There's differences between the Christian that you're sitting next to and yourself today. Well, they're family. That's okay. There's differences. There's differences. How many of you have gone on a date with your wife before? Yes. How many of you have gone on an unplanned date with your wife before? And you've asked her where we should go to dinner. Where should we go eat? Very good. Now, my plan is the Waffle House. Everybody likes the Waffle House. Delicious food. You can slide in and slide right back out. The Waffle House is amazing. But my wife does not like the Waffle House, okay? And I hope there's no employees on the radio listening right now. It's not nothing against, nothing personal, okay? But she just, that's not her preference, all right? So when we go out to eat, my question is, where would you like to go? What do you think your answer is? I don't know. You pick. Well, there's the barbecue place. We're always safe with Olive Garden, right? Always safe with Olive Garden. Well, there's a difference between, and y'all have heard my thing about Olive Garden. There's a difference between us. There's a difference between my wife and myself. And that's just a preference. Now, there's a difference between Paul and Barnabas. They spent a long time on a missionary journey, and they were still different. I know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that God is the same yesterday and today and forever? We call him being that's immutable, but he's immutable, but he's not immobile. He still works and moves in our life. And God is the same yesterday and today and forever. But I want you to understand, people are different. People are different. And people have different preferences. People see situations differently. Sometimes we get so caught up in how we see the situation, and we don't think that, hey, that person might see this situation different than I see it. We see situations differently. Let's look at our text and talk about this. First off, we see Barnabas. How many of you know Barnabas is an encourager? Yes. In fact, Saul was on the road to Damascus and God saved him. And we know that story where he was against God, against the Messiah coming in, and that Jesus Christ came and died for him. He was against all that. And then Jesus confronted him and he was gloriously saved and blinded. Now when he was blind, he went to a house for a couple days and then God directed him to the disciples. You know, the first one to meet him and to help him introduce to the disciples was Barnabas. All the people were like, that's Saul. That's the one who persecutes Christians. That's the one who takes Christians to jail. And Barnabas stepped outside the box and grabbed Saul by the arm and the hand and brought him in to the disciples and introduced them and encouraged Saul. I would say that part of Paul's ministry is because of the encouragement of Barnabas, the success of his ministry. Barnabas' strength was he was an encourager. How many of you know an encourager? I remember when I pastored in Virginia, there was this one lady who was such an encouragement to me. Now, they all were. I'm not saying that no other lady was an encouragement to me. But this one lady, and Mrs. Creed helped me with her name, Bertha Kelly. Bertha Kelly, when she could come to church, she'd be there. And after every service, you would have thought I was Billy Graham preaching and to the multitude. She thought I was so great. And she would come to me and tell me, what a great message and what a awesome message. Now, she would never, ever encourage me with my song leading and my singing. She wasn't a liar now, all right? But she did encourage me and tell me and just encouraged me and built me up. And I just appreciated that about her. And by the way, I enjoyed being around her. Don't you like being around someone that's encouraging? On the flip side, isn't it miserable being around somebody that's discouraging and always talking about how bad it is and how horrible life is? I love being around those that are encouraging, those encouragers. And Barnabas was an encourager, but his weakness was this. He would be kind to a fault. He wouldn't be able to see the big picture. He would risk the mission because he wanted to bring a young man that abandoned them before. His whole goal here was to bring Mark involved. John Mark, if you remember, in their first missionary journey, he went through the island and Cyprus, and there was some contention there amongst those that were lost, and he had enough. And once they got to Pamphylia, John went back to Antioch. And Barnabas is saying, I want to give him another chance. I believe he's been back to Antioch. He's learned his lesson. Let's give him another chance. And Barnabas saw the relationship. Barnabas saw the relationship as the important part. And that's what encouragers do. An encourager, their main thing, their big thing in life is they want to make sure the relationships are intact. Somebody might do something wrong, and they'll confront them, but their whole goal is to make sure that relationship is right. Relationship is right. And then there's Paul. Now, Paul, his strength was he was a goal setter. He was a go-getter. He was very strong. He wanted to accomplish as much for God as he could. If you remember when he started learning about the gospel, started learning and getting everything he could from the disciples, he started preaching the word of God. He didn't care who he was preaching it to. He didn't care where he was preaching it to. He went to the synagogues, straight to the synagogues, and wanting to preach to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't care. He was courageous. He didn't care who he offended. He was a goal setter. He was a go-getter. He was a leader. But his weakness we see here, he didn't want anyone to get in the way of progress. He didn't want anyone to get in the way of progress. Now we cheer him on when it's the lost people that challenge him. We cheered him on when it was the people that would defame the name of Jesus Christ. And we cheered him on. Yes, Paul is a strong individual and he's courageous. But now it's a John Mark who's saved, a young man that needs encouragement, and a young man that needs somebody to care for him, a young man that needs somebody to disciple him. And Paul says he's going to get in the way. He's not committed. Last time he came, he left and ran, and I got stoned, and I moved forward. But him, he ran. You see, Barnabas saw the relationship. Paul saw the risk. Paul saw the risk. Someone talked to a psychiatrist and a couple of them and did a survey. And the study was to see which type of people attracted a crowd or was a leader to a crowd and was able to bring people in. There's two characteristics that were brought up by these professional psychiatrists. You know what they were? Two characteristics. Number one, strong. A person that is strong. I see Paul as that person. He was strong. He was a go-getter. And then the next one, number two, warm. Warm. Well, that was Barnabas. That was Barnabas. You say, well, Pastor Creed, which one of these guys was right and which one of these guys was wrong? Both. The Bible doesn't tell us who was right and who was wrong in this situation. The Bible doesn't give us an account of how this thing got solved and how the problem got solved, whether they went to somebody and they got the problem solved or they just solved it themselves. It doesn't let us know that. We don't know who's right and who's wrong. You can decide for yourselves if you want. That's not the message this morning, who's right and who's wrong. The message is this. There was a disagreement. And how did they handle it? Now, sometimes we get in disagreements with somebody and we forget this person is not me and I am not this person. This person can see it differently than, or sees it differently than I see it. It would be helpful if we could stop and listen to the other person. So what are you talking about, Pastor Creed? We need to be good listeners. We need to be good listeners. Many times we don't listen to the whole story. We don't get the whole story. And we make a decision and we move forward and we say things we should not say. And we make decisions we should not make because we don't listen. And may I say this morning, when you're in a disagreement with somebody, stop and be a listener to them. Listen to them. Listen to them. We can go further together if we can listen to each other. There was a married couple that had a quarrel and ended up giving each other the silent treatment. No, I know nobody's done that here. I understand that. The silent treatment. All right? Husbands, you may like the silent treatment. Ladies, don't do the silent treatment because the husbands may like that. I don't know. But the silent treatment. And this lady gave her husband a silent treatment. He gave her a silent treatment. Well, until the husband needed help. He was going out of town on a business trip, and he has trouble waking up at 5:30 a.m. He had to wake up at 5:30 and be, and his flight took off at 7, and he had to be at the airport very early. And so he wrote a letter, wrote a note to his wife, and said, please wake me up at 5:30. I need to catch a plane. Well, he woke up the next morning, and it was 9 o'clock. He was upset. He was ready to have at it. He was ready to fight until he rolled over and he saw the note his wife wrote. Wake up, it's 5:30. Communication's important. Communication's important. Some of us have had disagreements and we're just okay disagreeing and not talking through it. Can you see that in Scripture we see in the difference in Paul and Barnabas in verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. Barnabas was determined. If Paul could step back and just say, boy, Barnabas is really determined in taking this young man is his nephew. John Mark was Barnabas' nephew. And he's very determined in taking John Mark. Maybe we should fix something. Maybe we should do something about this. And then we see in verse number 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And Barnabas could have stepped back and said, look, I understand what you're talking about. He really didn't follow through on that. I can understand that. But we see in verse number 39, and the contention was so sharp. Now, they went their separate ways, not because they came to an agreement. They went their separate ways because it was so sharp they couldn't travel together. Sometimes disagreements happen and the contention is so sharp among Christians that they can't even go to church together. Think about that. I said the word Christian, and I use it loosely when I talk about people like that. The contention was so sharp. These people were different. Number two, and quickly, I want you to realize, when we disagree, we must not allow our emotions to lead our decisions. When we disagree, we must not allow our emotions to lead our decisions. If you listen to somebody and you have the Word of God to stand on, it is the truth that should lead our decisions, not our emotions. We get on teenagers because they are emotional human beings. Aren't you teenagers? You could say amen. All right, let's try it. Ready? One, two, three. Amen. All right. They are emotional human beings. If you don't believe me, come to the basketball games. Come to the volleyball games, to the soccer games, and watch them play sports. They get emotional about it. And it's wonderful. Watch Jared sing up here at the podium, and you see he gets emotional. He gets into it, and that's great. They're emotional. Ladies and gentlemen, we are adults, and there's adults in here that act like children because they are emotional, and they make decisions when they are an emotional mess. Well, I'm just upset, I can't believe. I'm not talking to them anymore. And then we get on our phones, and our thumbs are moving without a brain behind them. And we post something on Facebook or Twitter, we will never, ever get back. May I encourage you to do something? Please. When you post something on Facebook, would you please make sure that it's uplifting? Would you please make sure it's encouraging? I love to see when a mother posts about her child and lifting her child up, her children. When a husband posts about how wonderful his wife is. When someone posts about how great the service was. We had a missionary last week and it was a great service. I love to hear the posts about that. See the posts about that. But oh, it hurts me when I see Christians who are supposed to be mature Christians get on there and their emotions have run them to make a decision. And it's the wrong decision. There were two men that were driving in Southern California. They got into a battle of road rage, and after one cut the other off in a parking lot, the hot-headed men sped out of the parking lot in a fit of rage down the highway, chasing the driver recklessly, dodging and weaving in and out. They endangered a lot of lives on their way of making fools of themselves. Finally, one of the drivers forced the other to careen out of control. The driver frantically tried to regain control, but in the process, an innocent little girl on a nearby sidewalk was killed because of a decision made in anger. And we have disagreements. You're going to have a disagreement. When you have a disagreement, calm down. Get control of your emotions. Because if you don't, you'll say something you should never say, and you can never get it back. And you'll do something you should never do, and you can never take it back. Yes, you can ask for forgiveness, but your testimony might die. Because you made a decision and a disagreement that was full of emotion. Full of emotion. And no doubt Paul was angry. They needed someone who would stay with them. And he did not want to, he wanted to work and get the job done. And Barnabas was angry because John Mark was his nephew. And John Mark had made some great strides and growth. And Paul was holding the past against him. And Barnabas was trying to encourage this young man. And both had a great argument. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23 as we looking at the last point here pretty quick. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23. Disagreements should not get in the way of the work of God. Number three, disagreements should never get in the way of the work of God. Disagreements should never get in the way of the work of God. Matthew chapter 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Look at verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Come to an agreement. Sometimes, now watch this, sometimes there are situations where we have to agree to disagree. I believe the Ravens are better. Pastor Boyer believes the Steelers are better. We're going to have to agree to disagree. I know that's silly, but there are real things that matter that we are just going to have to agree to disagree. But we can still serve together. We can still serve together. We have different preferences that we serve, and that's called Christian liberty. Christian liberty. And God gives us a soul to choose, a mind to choose. And God gives us guidelines in His Word to stay within. But we have preferences that differ. But we cannot let those preferences and those disagreements and those differences get in the way of the work of God. I don't want to go soul winning with her. I don't want them coming to our church. Look at verse number 39. And so Barnabas took Mark. Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. Mark was able to go. Verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Verse 41. And he went to Syria and Cilicia, confirming, strengthening the churches. The work of God went on. There was a disagreement. There was some words said, there was contention, it was sharp, but at the end of the day, God's work must go on. The children of the light, the children of God, should not continually be in disagreement and arguments with each other and watch the work of God die. It's amazing to see how many churches are now split, how many churches are now dead, how many churches are now no more because of contention and how sharp they are. And they were, their focus was on the argument and not on the work of God. We must be careful. The work of God is bigger than you. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, listen to this, putting me into the ministry. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, listen, I'm a nobody, but God counted me as a somebody and give me something to do in the ministry. And God, and Paul's focus was the work of God. That should be our focus. Get our focus off the disagreements you have with others and on the work of God and what God has for you to do through Temple Baptist Church. Sunday school teachers, that Sunday school those people in the Sunday school class, they need you to get your mind off the disagreement and on the work of God. Teachers in the Christian school, those children need you to get your mind off the disagreements and on the work of God. Leaders of the church, our people need us to get the minds, our minds off of disagreements and on the work of God. First, get it settled. Get it settled with those that you disagree with. Get it settled with God, and let's move on. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Don't you love the word peace? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, we belong to Christ, don't we, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now watch this. When you're mad at somebody or when you disagree with somebody, you're disagreeing with a person that has the same God in them. Have you thought about that? They're indwelled with the Spirit too. And what happens is both of you put the Holy Spirit aside and you let flesh have its course. When we need to, watch this, allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being guided by the Holy Spirit, and let's get to work for God. God has an agenda for us being holy. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in our darkness, we lie and do not the truth. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Think about that. God has given us a commandment to be the light of the world, to light the world. We have the light of the world in us. He's given us a commandment to light the world. I looked it up. Crime in Asheville, North Carolina. Crime is ranked on a scale of 1, low crime, to high, or to 100, high crime. So it's 1 to 100. The U.S. average is 22.7. Asheville, 33.1. We're above the U.S. average. That's violent crimes. What about property crimes? Property crimes, the U.S. average is 35.4. Did you know Asheville is 67.2? Wow, we're almost doubling it. You know, there's only 39% of adults in North Carolina that attend church once a week. And these numbers, that number is declining. It's on the decline. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we're in a mission field. And there are people that need the gospel. And we're bickering. And we're in disagreement. And we're focused on that. Stop it. Get it right. And let's move forward. Because these people in Asheville, they need the gospel. And we have what? We have the gospel. Would you rather have it your way? Or would you rather allow God to have his way? We do not have the time to dwell on disagreements. Let's move on and get the work of God done. Let's pray. Thank